Okay, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to the Kollel. As always, our gratitude to the Frohlich Financial Group, the sponsor of the afternoon Kollel. We are in the middle of studying the topic, the Shas topic of Beria, for those who remember. The topic of Beria is the idea of an isolated unit that has three implications or three areas of halacha where this is relevant. Number one, who remembers the three areas of halacha? All right, we could start from the beginning. Good, well, number one was Malkus. Normally, in order to eat and violate the prohibition of Machalos Asuros, in order to be liable for Malkus, one has to eat a minimum measure, a requisite measure, which classically is a kazayis. It can be a grogeris, a kabeitza, different foods have different measures, but classically, the standard measure is a kazayis. The first din of Beria is that even if it's less than a kazayis, but it's a complete unit, then one is liable. That was area number one. Area number two, meaning, therefore, application in halacha, beria in a batel. Second application was that even though normally we rely on nullification, a ratio of 60 to 1, 100 to 1, depending on what the substance is, could be different ratios. But beria, if it's a distinct unit, then it's in a batel. And the third application in halacha? Anyone remember was bracha achrona. Bracha achrona means normally you have to eat a requisite measure in order to recite a bracha achrona, closing bracha. But we'll see a debate, a discussion that maybe a beria, even though it's less than the requisite measure, since it's its own distinct unit, you would be liable responsible to make a bracha achrona. So this whole discussion began with the Mishnah in Makos on Daf Yud Gimel. I don't want to review the whole first shir, so we'll just go quickly through it for those who weren't here. The Mishnah has a discussion, Kama yocham in a tevel v'yechayev. How much does a person eat of tevel, which is untithed produce? Shum has not been taken. And yechayev, Reb Shimon says a kol shu, and the Chachamim say a kezayis. Amalem Reb Shimon, iatem modem li ba'ochel namala kol shu shu chayev. Reb Shimon says, don't you agree, a namala is a beria? A namala, an ant, is a whole unit. So even though an ant is less than a kezayis, wouldn't you agree that if you eat a namala, that you're chayev? So the Chacham said, "Nei sheikib briyasa," because that is a unit. That's the way it was created. So Reb Shimon says, "Afchitachas kibriyasa." So a wheat kernel too. That's the way it was created. So why isn't a kernel of wheat considered a beria, such that if you eat a kernel of wheat which was untithed, you should be liable for Malkus, because even though it doesn't meet the minimum measure of a kezayis of truma, of tevel, but nevertheless, it's a beria. So the Gemara elaborates on this. Gemara in Makos Daf Yud Zayin, which is page number 2, elaborates on this discussion we saw back and forth, Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. And ultimately, the final line or the debate, in the debate is the Rabbanan say, Brias Neshama Chashuva, Chita Lo Chashuva. Brias neshama is chashuva. A namala, the reason that you're liable, you get malchus for eating a namala, even though it's less than a kezayis, is because the Gemara or the Rabbanan characterize it as a neshama chashuva. It is a chashuv neshama. Whereas chita lo chashuva. A chita is lo chashuva. And we saw machlokas, what exactly does that mean? How do we define a beria? For Reb Shimon, even a kernel of wheat would be considered a beria. But for the Chachamim, a beria has to be something that has a neshama chashuva. And we asked, how do you define a beria? Is neshama describing something which is chashuv? Or is chashuv describing a neshama? Which is the key component, or the key driver, in the definition of a beria? This was the subject of the machlokas between Tosus on the one hand and the Ram, the Ramban, the Rashba on the other. So Tosfos again said what? Who remembers the definition based on Tosfos? Tosfos had a problem. We have a list of things which are a beria and those which aren't a beria. So what theme or what definition are we going to draw up? We have to come up with a definition which is going to work across all of these things that are defined as a beria. What? Oh, good. So Tosfos talked about losing its definition. So for example, What are examples of a beria? We saw from the Mishnah itself, a nemala. What's another definition of a beria? We saw a giranasha. The giranasha, the part of the animal that contains the sciatic nerve. We saw an oftame. Is a distinct unit. Aver menachai, if one rips off an aver, limb from a living being, those are all considered a beria, and they, if you ate it, even if it was less than a kezias, you'd get malchus. If it fell into a mixture, it wouldn't be nullified, and so on. What is not a beria? A nevela. Stam non-kosher meat. You go to the store and you buy non-kosher meat. That slab of non-kosher meat, the slab of chazer, is that a beria? If it falls into a mixture, is it batal?
Yes.
And a wheat kernel of chachamim, a wheat kernel of tevel. So if we know that, and I'm giving you the shortcut to know that, that examples of beria are namala, giranasha, oftame, evim, and achai. Example of a non-beria is a nevela or a kernel of wheat. So now what are the common denominators, the common characteristics that we can help us find the definition of what is a beria? What do a namala, a giranasha, an oftame, an evim, and achai, what do they all have in common to help us understand what is an example of the definition of a beria? So Tosfos defined a beria as not necessarily needing a neshama. Right? We said there's two ways of reading the Gemara's definition. The Chachamim say neshama chashuva is considered a beria. Chita is lo chashuva. So we asked, is neshama an example of something which is chashuv, but you could be chashuv even without it having a neshama? Or is chashuv describing why a neshama is a beria, but if it never had a neshama, it's not a beria? Two ways of understanding the opinion of Chachamim. Neshama chashuva. Is neshama describing it's an example of something chashuv, but you could have other things which are chashuv? Or is chashuv telling us why a neshama is considered a beria? So Tosfos understand that the key definition is not neshama, but rather chashuv. It doesn't have to have a neshama. So Tosfos says, what's an example? I forgot less than neshama. A giranasha doesn't have a neshama. Ah, you'll say gid nasha came from an animal which once had a neshama, but so did the milk, so did eggs, so did cheese, so did the nevela, so did a slab of non-kosher meat. They all came from an animal which once had a neshama, which once had a life, and yet they're not a beria. So being alive and having a life can't be the definition of a beria. So Tosfos says, this is all still review from last time, that Tosfos says the definition is Hatam tali dechosha oved shmo kishenechta chave beria. Anything that it loses its name when you cut it up. So a giranasha is only a giranasha when it's whole. Once you cut it up, it's just pieces of animal. It's no longer a giranasha. An aver menachai is no longer an aver once it's in pieces. A namala is not a namala. Of tame is not an oaf. So says Tosfos, the definition of a beria is something that only continues to carry its name when it's in its complete unit. But if you were to cut it up and it would lose its name, it loses its identity, it loses its definition, then that's not considered to be a beria. What do you do with the fact that the Gemara said that it has to have a neshama? So Tosfos says, no, that was only according to Reb Shimon. The Chacham were saying, according to you, Reb Shimon, neshama chashuva. But really what matters is not neshama. Really what matters, according to Tosfos, is chashuv. If you can arrive or achieve at being chashuv, even without a neshama, that too is a beria. And how do you define whether something is chashuv? It's chashuv when, if you were to cut it, it would lose its name. That's Tosfos. Tosfos says the same thing we saw in Chulin, Adaf Tzadi, Vav. The Daf will get to it in 6 weeks or so. We began the Ramban on page 4. An aver min hachai cuts up is just pieces of an animal. It's no longer an aver. To be an aver min hachai, it has to be the whole aver. Once it's cut up, it's no longer the aver. Okay. Page 4, we began to see the Ramban. The Ramban disagreed. The Ramban says, Mufurash quotes Tosfos Rabbi Yosef Yonatan Tzarfatim, the Tosfos that we just reviewed right now, about the definition. But if you look at the next paragraph, on page 4, the left-hand column, the bottom paragraph, but the Gemara Chachamim's conclusion was Brias Neshama is Chashiv, that's a beria. So what does Tosfos do? In the end of the day, Tosfos tries to pawn that off as saying the Chachamim were only including that criteria within Reb Shimon, but they themselves don't hold it. But the Ramban doesn't buy it. The Ramban, the Rashba, the Ran, they say no, Neshama is one of the core criteria. He doesn't like the interpretation. So the Ramban, the Rashi, the Ran offer a different interpretation, and they say there are three criteria in order to be defined as a barrier. And what do the Ramban, this group of Rishonim, say? Unlike Tosfos, that there's one criteria, it has to be chashuv. And how do you identify chashuv? Whether it retains its name once it's cut into pieces. The Ramban, the Ran say, no, a barrier needs three criteria. Number one, mibriyasa means it has to be usher since its inception. And that's why a nevela is not a barrier. Is a nevela usher since its inception?
No.
It became a nevela when it died, not through the process of shechita. So if the animal dies not through shechita, then it's a nevela. A botched shechita, or a hunter shoots an animal, or a car hits an animal, then it's a nevela. But it didn't begin as asr. It began as a potentially mutter piece of meat. It became asr when it became a nevela. So number one, it needs to be asr from its inception. Number two, it has to be living. And number three, it has to be whole. So all those examples, the Malagid Anasha of Tama Evim and Achai, they were all Asr from their inception. They didn't become Asr at some point, but they were all Asr since their inception, number one. Number two, they all were living at one point. They had a life. They were alive. And number three, they were a unit. They were a complete unit. So Gid Anasha is a barrier, but Evim and Achai, according to the Ramban, is not. Is not.
What do you say they are? Were a whole unit except for the Nemolo and was ever. There's a big difference between them.
So what are they arguing about? What is the nature of this machlokas? What is the nature of this machlokas? So let's see another Gemara. Nazir, Daf Nun Aleph, page 7. Gemara Nazir has the following question. Boy Rava. Namala shachasera mahu shiura gmirila vahachaser oberia gmirila viaika. What happens if you have a namala, an ant that's missing its leg? An ant that's leg is cut off. Is it still status of a barrier or not? What is its status? So look at the Rashi, the bottom left. Boy Rav Namala Shachasera Koshihu Vaachla Mao Shir Namala Shlema Gemirla the Chiyacha Chaya Viluhecha the Chasera of a Potter Odilma Beria Gemirla the Chiyacha Beria Machayev the Chichasera Namichayev the Ika Beria Vamina Ruba Kakula. So when it's missing its leg, what is the Koveya? Do we say the Shir of a Namala? Normally, the shear of machalos asura is forbidden food. The shear is normally a kezayis. A namala is a beria, so it's a namala. It's asur as a namala. Tosfos would say it has the shame namala. It has the name of a namala. So, therefore, you're only liable when you eat the whole namala. It's only violating the shear less than a kezayis when you eat the whole namala. But if it's missing a little bit, so it's no longer a namala. A namala means the whole namala. If it's missing a piece of it, it's not a namala. So when was it your chayiv to eat a whole namala even though it's less than a kezayis? When it's the whole namala. But if it's a namala chasera, if it's a namala that's missing even a leg, that's not a namala. So then you'd need kezayis would be the measure to kick in to eat such a namala. Or do you say, dilma beria gamirila? Or do you say, no, what's koveya is it a unit? Tachiyacha beria mechayiv. So when you eat it, if somebody looks at it and says, what'd you eat? You wouldn't say, I ate part of an ant. You wouldn't say, I ate meat of a bug. Say, I ate an ant. The ant is missing a leg. Rubo kikulo. Most of the ant is there. It's as if you ate the whole ant. In other words, the Gemara here wonders, the way Rashi interprets it is, what is the definition of a beria? That it continues to remain intact, extant, or that it once was something that carried its own name as a unit, and even if it's missing a piece of it now as that unit, it continues to carry that name. You understand? So the ant's missing the leg. Do you say it's only considered a beria when it has the whole thing? Or no? It was a beria because it was an ant. Even if it's missing the thing, it's still that beria, it's still that ant. Tosos understands similarly. Look at the bottom right. Namala shachasira mashu, mahu. Amar perik elu alokin. Ha'ochel namala chayav ala b'chol shu'af yishem b'kizayis. Meboilei, inyektatsu raglea sh'adayin yichol alachios v'adayin shem beria alea. Tosos throws in this other variable, which is, the ant can live without its legs. Cruel children played as children, where they'd pull a leg off of this bug, or cut the tail off of that lizard, or use a magnifying glass to make that bug blow up. Right? Children play, and you always wonder, oh, look at that, the lizard lost its tail, it's still walking around. The ant lost its legs, it's still alive. So, not alive like the pirkus of a chicken, without its head, alive like it can live. It can live. So Tosfos says, since the namala can live without its legs, on the one hand, it's not the complete unit the way that it was born. On the other hand, it still has the name of that unit. It's still a living ant. Even without its legs, it's still called an ant. What's the koveya? That it can still live like that. So even when it's incomplete, the fact that it can live like that makes it complete, legabe having that name and being called a beria. Or do you say, no, kozma, that it's incomplete, it's missing its legs. If it's incomplete, it's incomplete. The Gemara leaves this as anybody to live. This is the suffix in the Gemara. What if you eat an amala missing its legs? That's less than a kezias. Once it's missing its legs, does the shear revert to be a kezias and you ate less than a kezias so you don't get malchus? Or even though it's missing its legs, since it can live that way, that's still called the beria. That's still called an ant. And therefore, even though it's less than a kezias, you'll still get malchus. Correct. Interestingly, here he talks about it can live. And Makos, he rules out neshama. Makos Dafke, he says. Now, it could be he's creating different definitions in each case. Over here, Tosfos is not saying he can live that way because living is the definition of a beria, but because can you be considered this beria even though it's missing legs? Maybe when you're missing a piece, what nevertheless can compensate to make it be called a beria is the fact that you can live that way. So living that way is not part of the definition of a beria per se, but living that way is just what compensates for the fact that it's incomplete.
Having a neshama does not mean it's alive. It could have, clearly you can't even alive an ant. But my question is, you can have a larger or a smaller ant.
I understand, it doesn't matter.
I'm saying
it could be a microscopic ant. Well, I shouldn't say microscopic. Microscopic, you're not liable, and that's a whole, we're not going to have time today. But had we had time, you know, the whole issue of bugs in the water in New York, they had the issue of the microscopic organisms in the water, or bugs in lettuce, or fruit smoothies. Can you order a fruit smoothie where they're going to actually grind up the bug, but maybe it starts off whole, it's not batel. There's big discussion about it. So it doesn't matter. Microscopic, the Torah doesn't hold us liable for that which is microscopic. It has to be visible to the naked eye to be considered halachically significant or viable. So let's assume, I don't mean microscopic, but I mean even the smallest negligible amount, certainly less than what we would consider normal, the shear of a kezias. So we have a machlokas, Tosfos and the Rashba, the Ramban, what the definition of a beria is. And these two tzadim maybe of this machlokas you see in the suffix in this Gemara. And then we're going to go through the halacha, but I want you to take a look for yourself for a moment. And then we're going to come back and look at it together. On page 16, the Grizz. We'll come back and look at it in a moment. All right, so before we delve into the chakira and see them inside, let's go back and look at the halacha. And then we'll see the chakira. So go back to page 8. Through the Shulchan Aruch. We saw the machlokas between Reb Shimon and the Chachamim. Machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban, how to define it, and the Suffolk in the Gemara. So how do we pass him with Beria? So this is Yerodea Simon Kuf. Beria afilo be'elef lo batal. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Beria, tahaynu kegon nemala o oftame v'giran nasha, ve'ever menachai u'beitza sheish ba'afroach. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber lists off all examples of a barrier. An ant, an Ov Tamei, the Gid Anasha, a limb of an Eiver Menachai, Beitza Sheesh Ba'afrach, a fertilized egg, Ukiyotze Bahem, Afila Be'elef Lo Betela. All of these examples, normally a ratio of 60 to 1 is enough to nullify the taste, the impact, the influence of the other substance. But here, even in a ratio of 1,000, it's more. The Ein Lo Din Beria Elam Keinu Davrshah Ba'chayis, Lafuke Chita Asher Achashel Isser. How is he passing in the Mechaber? Like Tosfos or like the Ramban? Like the Ramban. Mechaber says that in order to be a Beria, it has to be something that had a life, which excludes a Chita Achas. The reason that a wheat kernel of Tevel is not a Beria and would be Batel, it was never alive. Chayin Tzarech Shia Davrshah Asher Mitchilas Briyaso. Second criteria is, in order to meet the definition of a beria, it has to be something which was forbidden from its inception. Lafuke of tahor shenis nabel v'shur haniskal. So, if a shur haniskal, an animal that gored three times and is liable to death, falls into your chalent, it would be batal. It's not a beria. Why is it not a beria? Because it was not prohibited from its inception. It only became usur once it established the pattern of goring. And the third criteria is it needs to be whole. Shem yachalek ein shmo alav. Lafukei chelev. V'chein tzarech shiyah shalem. It has to be something whole and complete, not something that if you were to cut. So chelev, in order to be the forbidden fats of an animal, to have the status of chelev, it's the whole unit of chelev. Once you cut it up, it's not chelev. So therefore, that too is not considered to be a beria. So again, who is the mechaber paskening like? What? Like the Ramban. The Ramah adds, V'ikr giranasha eina ela ala kaf bevad, v'hu karoch avdalat etzbos, v'mushali mekre beria. In terms of the definition of a giranasha, there's a daraisa, forbidden part of the giranasha, there's the shuman giranasha, there's the external part of the giranasha, which is also the Rabbanon. So the ikr, core part of the giranasha, is what's forbidden, the Rabbanon, and the Ramah here throws in, how do you define what is the measure of the giranasha? Halacha beis. Now let's say you have a beria that's cooked with something mutter. So what's an example?
An ant
falls into your chalent. If you can't find the ant, so the whole mixture is forbidden. You could have a million ratio of chalent to ant, but davar a beria is ain't a bato. V'arot of benosin tam. Now the sauce, so let's say you can... The sauce is benosin tam. If it's enough, there you would apply the principle of beria, of bittel. V'makiro, if you can find the ant in the mixture, zorko, throw it out. V'acheir ma'arot of tzorach shebam samach kinegdo chutz migir anosha she'in tam ha'osar de'im begid the benosin tam. Avashmeno osar tzorach shishin kinegdo lahater arotav. So, the Mechaber says that if you can see the ant and you can remove it, you can still eat the rest. You just have to have shishim against the barrier that you took out. Now, the truth is the ant is a bad example. You wouldn't need shishim, because an ant is nosin tam of gam. Since it gives a negative taste, you wouldn't even need shishim. But let's say you had a barrier that gave a good taste. So you would need to remove the actual mamashas of the barrier, and you would need to have shishim against it. Except giranasha. Giranasha has no tam. The Shuman Giranasha is a tam. So you'd need 60 against the Shuman to Giranasha and not the Giranasha itself. Okay. What happens to Lacha Gimel? Kedera Shalmarak Shanafa Shamberia Vinevda. You have a pot of soup that a beria fell into and you lost it. Asarakol. Yurakos Mavushal Shinutsu Baham Gimel Talama Yurakos Asurus. Meshlakos Mesaranum Mutarin Chenabasir Chazen Yuzikanum Mutar. If you have infested vegetables, and infested is defined by finding three worms or bugs, it's all forbidden. But if you have vegetables that were cooked, and you want to be able to benefit from the water that has the taste, soup, vegetable soup, you can run it through a sieve, through a strainer, thank you, and then the liquid is permissible because you've removed the barrier. Okay, this is the shulchan. Yes?
Question. If you have a shulchan, what's the difference if it's shishin more than this beria, the fact that it's a barrier should say that the whole mixture should be, you should gather throughout the whole mixture. In other words, why?
I'll tell you why, because there's two components. When it comes to food, there's two components. There's the mamashas, and there's nosan tam. Right, the Gemara has a long discussion. It tries to prove from several places, and unclear exactly which one it proves from. The tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar is the biggest yisod of all of kashrus. Why is it that I have a clean pot, but it's a treif pot, I can't cook in it? It's clean right now. In other words, the secular world doesn't have a principle of tam ki ikar. If it's clean, it's clean. It's sterilized, it's sterile. So, but we can't use a treif pot or a fleshik pot for milchiks and so on. Why? Because Marga learns tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar means that taste embedded within the wall of the kli, ki ikar. It is the same status as if the actual food stuff is there. So I have the mamashas, food stuff is prohibited, and then I have tam, which means the taste of the food, even if there's no presence of actual food. Now how long? Mamashas is forbidden as long as it's edible. If it's inedible to a dog, it's no longer considered food. But as long as it's edible, the presence of the mamashas makes it also, even if it's not appetizing. But tam, how long is tam? How long can taste without the presence of the actual food? How long does that last? 24 hours. After 24 hours, it becomes nosan tam lefgam. It's a stale taste. It contributes negatively. Which is why the number one shaila, when I get a shaila every day about the fork in the dishwasher or the plate in the sink or the washing of the thing, what's the first question I always ask? Was it used within 24 hours or not? Is it a ben yomo or an eno ben yomo? Because if it was not used within 24 hours, then that status of whatever taste was embedded in that pot or in that spoon or in that cover or in that kli, it ain't a ben yomo, it's only asr derabanan. Why did the rabbanan say ain't a ben yomo is asr? Ain't a ben yomo, atu ben yomo. Why? Because certainly long before we had the ability to calculate and clock and track. Could you imagine every fork in your kitchen, every pot, every bowl, every plate, every glass would need its own stopwatch? Your kitchen would look like a NASA. I don't know, you'd have little instrument paddles everywhere. Every bowl, every sink, every plate, every utensil, every fork, every knife, every spoon would have, okay, the clock begins now. How do I know when the 24 hours? So it's almost impossible not to make a mistake. So eino ben yomo, atu ben yomo. Really, midoraisa, strictly speaking, biblically, wait 24 hours, and by definition, it's kosher. It's a little secret. If you have a treif pot and you wait 24 hours, it's a kosher pot, midoraisa. If you have a milchik pot and you wait 24 hours, it's a parav pot midoraisa. Midoraisa. In fact, the Ra'a, one of the Rishonim, used to only have one set of kelim because he held that he didn't hold the Eino ben yomo, Atu ben yomo. He had one set of kelim and he would wait 24 hours and then use it for the next thing, then wait 24 hours and be able to go back and forth. Why don't we do that? Because you're bound to make a mistake. How do you know when it was used? So therefore, that's the whole origin of designating milchiks and fleshiks, is because we're worried about the tam, because tam ki ikar. Tam ki ikar, and therefore we have to worry about the tam embedded within the wall of the kli itself. So wait 24 hours, you don't have to wait for worry anymore, it's because nosan tam lefgam. But eino ben yomo atu ben yomo, we are strict even after 24 hours to designate and not use it for the opposite of the designation, because atu ben yomo, you'll come to make a mistake and even use it for the designation. But of course, b'diavad, after the fact, you can rely on. So if you have a fleshik pot, 25 hours ago, I cooked a gevaldika corned beef in that pot. 25 hours ago. And the pot was clean, the pot's cool, 24 hours it's sitting. And now I make mac and cheese in the pot. Can I eat the mac and cheese? Absolutely. Do I have to kosher the pot? Absolutely. Why do I have to kosher the pot? Because the pot absorbed fleshiks, even though now it's lefkam, it absorbed milchiks. But because eino ben yomo atu ben yomo, and the pot was being treated as fleshiks, I have to kosher it to be back to fleshiks. But can I eat the mac and cheese? Absolutely. Why? Because I cooked the corned beef in the pot 24 hours later. So I can't rely on eino ben yomo lechatchila, but we rely on eino ben yomo bidyevet. Why am I telling you this? Well, to answer you. When it comes to the barrier, there's two impacts of the barrier. There's the mamashas and there's the tam. So the mamashas of the barrier is ain't a batal. That's what's not batal. So if the ant is in your soup, it's not batal. You could have a vat of soup the size of South Florida and a tiny little antela in the soup, but it doesn't matter, a gabillion to one, it's still not batal. Kozman, it's a barrier, it's a davar chashuv, it's not batal. But if I take my ant out and I have shishin, again, the ant is a bad example because it's nosan tam lefgam. I wouldn't even need shishin. Let's say it's not an ant. Let's say it's something which is no sin tam l'shvach. Ichveis, I don't know, do they have any delicacies? A grasshopper that's not kosher, that's a delicacy that's delicious to have. Of tameh. An of tameh falls into my soup. So an of tameh that falls into my soup is no sin tam l'shvach. It's going to add a bent chicken soup. It's geschmack. It's going to add a delicious flavor, the oaf. So I have to remove it. It's never batel, even in a billion to one. But the tam of it, that's what the Mechaber is saying. If I calculate 60 shishim to the tam, then I can eat it. Okay? That clarify?
Yeah.
Good. Says the Taz. Go back to page 8. Says the Taz, Chashivas de beria shlot ye betela hi midrabanan. The kevin shemina Torah yesh chashivas de lokan alachilasa afilu hipachos mikazayis to a stomach sieve, eitzon minim tmeim, losocho osom afilu hem ketanim, alken echmir rabbanim betarova shalahem, ava minatora hi betela kishari sulim. This rule, that a beria ain't a bottle, is that a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? Is that a biblical rule or a rabbinic rule? Beria ain't a bottle. Is that biblical or rabbinic? So the Taz comes along and the Taz says, it is a din d'rabbanan. Why did the rabbanan institute this din? The Rabbanan instituted this din because if you get malchus by eating this beria, even though it's less than a kezayis, you see the chashivas of it, since it's so chashuv, how could we say that it can be nullified no matter what the ratio is? But that's only a din d'rabbanan. In other words, out of respect for the din d'oraisa, that you'd get malchus on a beria, even though it's less than a kezayis, that reflects or reveals its significance, out of respect for its significance in the world of malchus, will treat it as something that can't be nullified in the world of Tarovas. But that's only a din d'rabbanan. It's a din d'rabbanan to show respect. Kevin shemin ha-Torah yesh chashivos to lokan al-achilas ha-afilu ipachas mikazayis. Therefore, echmiru rabbanan b'tarovas shalahem. Ava min ha-Torah b'teila kishari surim. V'nafkamina, what's the nafkamina, whether beria in a bottle is a din d'arais or a din d'rabbanan? The Taz tells you the nafkamina. Continue reading the Taz. Nafkamina l'inyan safek yihavi beria olo sveka d'rabbanan u'batel. Taz says, if it's a safek, whether that is a beria or not, so then you're going to go to the kula. Can you think of a safek beria? We just saw one in the Gemara Nazir. An ant missing its legs. An ant missing its legs was in Yibayda l'ifshita. It's a safek. Is that a beria or not? Do you define a beria that it's still an ant? It can live as an ant even without the legs. It's amputee ant. Or do you say, no, once it's incomplete, it's not the original unit, it's not an ant, this can beria. So that is exactly an example of a suffix. So the Taz says, because beria ain't a batel is a din d'rabbanan, in a case of suffix, suffix d'rabbanan, lakula, and you can rely on bittel there. The Dago Mervava, who wrote the Dago Mervava? Who wrote the Dago Mervava? The Noda Behuda. So Dago Mervava disagrees, and he proves from the Tosfos in Bab Metzia Dav Vav. Tosfos in Bab Metzia Dav Vav talks about where you're taking Maiser Behema and one jumps back in, and we don't say it's Batel because it's a barrier that jumped back in. So therefore the whole group is exempt because it's a barrier, it's not Batel, and so on. Whatever the details of the Tosfos there in Bab Metzia Dav Vav, Dago Mervava proves from there that barrier Eina Batela is a din de Araisa. So according to him, if you have a suffix beria, you would go l'chamra. Machlokas Taz and Dago Mervava, whether beria is a din d'oraisa, beria is a din d'rabbanan, with the nafkamina, if you have a suffix, would you go l'chamra? Now very important, page 10. Simon Kuf Aleph, the next simon in the Shulchan Aruch tells us that while it's true that beria ain't a batel, however, once it's cut up, chaticha ruya l'schabe dina keberia. This is a din in Chaticha Rilas Chabed. Why did I bring this? I wanted to show you. Oh, Halacha Vav, the next page, I'm sorry. Hod the berry of Chaticha Rilas Chabed lo betele, lo batle, davka bo odem shlemim. Avalam nechtechu o nisrasku ad shenev dat zirason betele, ditsu lo chashive. So, if you have blended up bug, so there was a bug in the fruit smoothie, but it was blended. So once it was blended after the fact, now it is batel. In other words, when is a beria ena betela? Only when it's complete. But once it is crushed or cut up, or minced, or sliced or diced, then with its mixture, then you can rely on bittul in that case. Okay, good. So we saw the halacha. You can't. You can't do it. You can't do it intentionally. Again, we don't have time to get through the halachic application, but if you go to a fruit smoothie store and you want to order a fruit smoothie, let's say it's not under a hechsher, so there's no mashgiach there checking the vegetables that are the fruit that are being blended. There's no mashgiach checking the fruit that are being blended, but it's a clean blender and it's fruit that by definition kosher. So can you order the smoothie? They're going to mix with water, with fruit juice, with milk, echves. I don't know what goes into a smoothie, but it's all kosher. All the ingredients are kosher. There's no bishul akum here. Nothing is hot. But the only thing is there's a chashash that maybe there'll be bugs. So can you order the fruit smoothie? So on the one hand, once the bug is crushed in the mixture, you say it is batal. You no longer have the problem of beria. But the fact that you're asking for it, are they doing it for you? Is that ein mevatlin iser lechatchila? So that's a discussion in the world of ordering fruit smoothies. So we saw the halacha in Malkus. Even if it's less than a kezias, you'll get Malkus. We saw the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch, Machlokas Taz Daga Mervava, about whether it's Dereis or Rabbanon, but Beria in a bottle. The third area of halacha is Atesis and Brachas, Staf Lamites. First, the third area of halacha. Tosus here says the following. Page 13. Rabbi Yerushalmi, you see where I have the bracket? Rabbi Yochanan Yehechi Baruch Azayas Ha'alav Yishiura. V'ka'amim Yishum Beria. Da'afil lo achal ela prey da'acha shal anav or prey da'acha shal rimon boi bruchi. Mishum de'beberia mevarchina afil pachas mikazayas. V'cholik al gemara didan k'demash mahacha. So Tosfos quotes Machlokas Bavli and Yerushalmi. Normally you have to have a certain measure in order to make a bracha achrona. To make a bracha rishona, you have to make on any amount. But a bracha achrona, you have to have eaten a certain amount. So let's say you ate a grape. A grape is smaller than a minimum measure to be mechayev a bracha achrona. But a grape is a beria. A grape is a full unit. So the Yerushalmi says, you have to make a bracha. Because it's a full unit. It's a beria, even though it's less than the measure to be mechayev a bracha achrona. And the Bavli says, you don't. How do we paskin? Turn the page, 14. Shulchan Aruch says, Ha'ocha, this is an Aruch Chaim, Siman Reish Yud. Ha'ocha pachas mikazayas, bein mipas, bein mishar ochlim, ha'shosa pachas mirviyas, bein miyay, bein mishar maskin, mashkin, mavarach tchila bracha rilos amin, la'achar aveinam mavarach klal. If you eat less than a kazayas of bread or other food, or you drink less than a reviyas of wine or other liquids, you have to make a bracha. You make a bracha on a koshu, the bracha beforehand. Can't benefit from Hashem's world without first saying please. That's how you pay for the food, no matter what small measure you are eating. So to make a bracha beforehand is any measure, but to make a bracha afterwards, it has to be either a kezias for a solid or a revius for a liquid. Says the Shulchan Aruch, there's a suffix to Machlokas Yerushalmi Bavli. What if it's smaller than a kezias? But it's a beria, a whole grape. L'kach nochal nizar shlolachal beria pachas mikazayas. Shulchan Aruch says, don't eat a beria and stop there. Either eat half a grape or eat five grapes. But don't eat a grape because you're putting yourself in a mokim safik. You're putting yourself in a safik bracha about whether you make a bracha achrona. Says the Ramah, v'lo mikre beria ele mochal kamo shehu avalam laka chagarin mimenu lo mikre beria. If you take the seed out of it, if you cut it open, it's not a beria. So in other words, if you cut the grape in half, it's not a beria. So if you eat the whole grape, even though it's less than a kezias, that's when now you're in a suffolk about whether you make a bracha achrona on that grape or not. Mishnah Berurah here weighs in, gargar shalinav, hu adin, yagda.
What if you spit out the skin? You take a grape, you take the inside, you spit out the skin.
I guess then you haven't eaten the whole beria. Mavorchan acharov mishim chashivusov, and nisraska kodem achil lomikre beria. If it's cooked vegetables and it's no longer a whole vegetable, if it's crushed grape or a piece of the grape is missing, then you're not in the suffolk. The suffolk is you ate the whole beria and you ate it and you ate it, even though it's less than a kazayis, a suffix, whether you are chayv. That's the third area. So we haven't gotten to the chakira. Rabbi Shaket's going to generously give us 2 more minutes. Right, Rabbi Shaket? Shkoyach. 10? Shkoyach. I may need it. So we saw what makes this a shas sugya is, it applies across several siddurim of shas, beria. In the world of Malkus, in the world of Yoridei, of Isavahatar, of Tarovis, and in the world of Birchas Hanenin, in the world of Bracha Achrona, does a beria have its own status? Meaning, we have rules and regulations. To get Malkus, it has to be a kezayis. To make a Bracha Achrona, it has to be a kezayis. In order to, it can be bato, if it's nullified 60 to 1. So when you have a unit, be it a grape, be it an Aver Menachai, a Gedanasha, and a Mola, if you have a unit, do you take the rules and throw them out the window? It has its own new rules. When do you do that? When do you not do that? It's interesting. Nobody here raised their hand. But it's interesting that the Shulchan Aruch, the Yerushalmi, calls the grape a beria. What is a grape missing in the Ramban's definition? It's shalem, it's whole. It was never alive, and it's not usher. It's not usher since its inception. Never usher. The grape's mutter. So maybe the Ramban doesn't have the definition of being usher since its inception, since this isn't a din in Isra Heter. It's not usher, it's a din in Brachos. So maybe being whole is enough for the define it as a beria in a world not of Isra Heter, but in a world of Birchas Hanenin. But I want to just share with you, as we close the sugya of beria, I wanted to spend some time on it, but what is the classic, in every area we talk about, Edus Kim L'B'drabah Minei, what else did we talk about? Asa dochalos asa. I always try to give you the classic raid, the chakira. What is the yeshivish raid, the lamdas they say? So the yeshivish lamdas, the raid, this is where the grizz comes in. Ravelva says the raid is, why is it that a beria ain't a bottle? And why is it that a beria get malchus less than a kezayis? And why is it that a beria make a bracha achrona? What is it about the beria? Is it that it's chashuv? So in order to be chashuv, normally it's a kezayis. But because this is a unit, it's chashuv, even though it's less than a kezayis. What's koveya that it's a beria? That it's chashuv? Or that the Torah referred to it as a unit? There's nothing chashuv about it. Who says that Eiver Menachai is chashuv? Who says a namala is chashuv? It's a little namala. It's not chashuv, it's a namala. It's a pathetic little namala. It's not chashuv about it, it's just that the Torah answered it in that name and as that unit. That's the chakira. What makes the beria a beria? That it's chashuv, so even though less than a kezayis, it can be chashuv, or that it is a unit that the Torah answered as that unit, so therefore the normal rules and regulation that define the Isser as being a bigger unit, a kezayis, they fall away here. Normally it's not usher is less than a kezayis, kezayis is the measure for it to be usher. That falls away here. Why? Because the Torah gave it to us as that iser of that unit. The Grizz says this, and look at how Rabbi Soloveitchik puts it. Nishiri Arav, page 17. Kasu Shulchan Aruch Beri Dang, Nemala Ov Tami, you get Nashir Menachai, Fil Be'elef, Hinei Tanai Zahachar, Shikos Machaber, Mekor B'Taisvus L'chulen, U'Barosh, V'Lachar Tzarachiyin, Dimenol L'Chatichan Nevela Mekri Nevela, Ilu Chatichas get a Nashir L'Mikri, get a Nashir, Ubir Shama Rosh and Avelo of Yeshim, Etzem, Vidvar Srikan Beer. Banir Beze, Kosva Tashik, Rahomer de Berry Lobotla, Philabella, Yrahova, Homer Stanya Malkus. Home at Tori Shleberry Hashiv is Lanya Malkus. Shalok and Alchilas and Afin Pokas Mikazai, Shamaki, Mir Barabana Lomar, Sheishal Hashiv is Gamlin a bit of Tarovis. Veneria de Berry Hamir at famous Shari Sunni Malkus, the shiny Isser Berry Mishari Surum be Etzem Gidro. Shari Surum Gigo Nevelo Hedom Hemi Sure Homer. Uluberia he Isert Sura. The Rav has a different chakira. He says, you know what makes a beria a beria? It's not chashuv versus a unit of iser. He says it's how you define the iser. Normally, machalos asuros are defined by the substance. A beria, the iser, is defined by the form. The chomer or the tsura. It's maharal lashon, but in the world of halacha here. Chomer means a nevela's asur. Why? I don't care how the nevela is shaped. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care the mold. I don't care the shape. I don't care the size. I don't care the unit. Nevela. If you have a kezayis, a fleisch from a nevela, also, you got malchus. I could care less about the form. All I care about is the substance. Beria, what makes the beria asr is, even though what I'm missing in substance, I make up for in form, in surah. That's the Rav, the way he sees it. Yisurei Chomer versus Yitzurei Tzura. Umehaitayne yishchulek b'shirem le'malkas. Shebisar Chomer hashir l'chiv malkas u'kizayis me'aso Chomer. Al besar Tzura hashir l'chiv malkas u'achilas ha-tzura. If you eat the whole Tzura. The Rav is really saying the same thing as his uncle. It's another formulation of the Grizz. The Grizz formulates it as, is it an issue of Chashuv versus a unit of Isser? What the Rav is saying is that, when is it a Kezayis? When it's the substance. But when you have less than that measure, but the form is a unit of a form, it's a beria, it's aser. V'nirish l'zen is chavna teisus v'rash ma'ashikas v'tigir anasha chashiv k'beria. Hovim yechalek ein shmo alav. That's what Tosfos meant. Why is it when you divide something and it's not called by that name anymore, it's no longer a beria, perish a dover, should we get a nashal and answer a chomel at sura? K'demuch ha'mizesh ha'evan malkas al-achilasa afen b'chus ha'mikazayis. L'fich ha'chmira bo rabbanan af l'inyan bito. Avam ha'nevelo shor ha'niskal u'doma l'nesar ala ha'chomer. Basar nevelo u'basar shor ha'niskal. V'm yechalik adayin shem isar alav. V'meil ho v'eir chashivas l'nevelo shor ha'niskal mitzadat l'makos l'achmira rabbanan l'inyan bito. So this is how Rabbi Soloveitchik sees it, and he says that's what Tosfos was saying about if you divide it, does it lose its name? Meaning, is the Tzura what matters, or is the Chomer what matters? The Rav Elio Bakshi Daron, the former chief Sephardi rabbi of Israel, has a Sefer Binyanav. He has a whole simon here, Memtes, and Ber Yashena Batela Bataruvis, and he says the following. We're on page 19. Yishlat Lachkor B'divrei Ataz, Ma Siba Sheber Yalo Batela. He is a hakir in the Taz about why it should not be betela, and so on. So what's a nafkamina? It's worth it. We're out of time, but there's a long, if you're more interested, this whole piece by Bakshi Daron is an excellent summary of the sugya of Beria. And then the last thing in the source sheet are a tshuva by Rav Asher Weiss about this issue of bugs in the vegetables and whether you can rely, do you say Beria ain't a betela, and therefore you have to check for the vegetables, when can you lie, not can you lie. But I want to give you five quick nafkaminas in this chakira about Beria. Is Beria, because once it's a davar chashuv, that's what makes it a beria, even less than a kezayis, and in a tarovis it's lo betela, or is what makes it a beria that it was usher as that unit. So maybe that's exactly the ibayd l'ifshita in the Gemara in Nazir. The Gemara Nazir says, what happens if I have what? An ant whose legs are ripped off. If I have an ant whose legs are ripped off, what is its status? So the Grizz says on that Gemara Nazir, he says, according to the first way of understanding it, that it's a chashuv, it's a davar chashuv. So I understand why it's an ibar delivshuta. Because maybe even while it's missing two legs, it's still considered chashuv. But if it's that the Torah gave me a unit of Isser, and the ant is a unit of Isser, the ant is only a unit of Isser when it's the whole unit. If it's missing part of the unit, it's no longer the unit. So maybe the ibar delivshuta and the Gemara Nazir says the Grizz is exactly this chakira. What is the definition of a beria? Is the definition of a beria because it's davar chashuv? So even though it's missing the two legs, it can live that way. It's an ant. It's still chashuv. Or is the definition has nothing to do with chashivus? Maybe an ant's not chashuv. Maybe though the Torah gives it in that unit. When it gave that unit, then that unit's aser. But if it's incomplete, you can't call it that. You can't call it that unit. Maybe he says this is machlokas with bracha achrona. Do you make a bracha achrona on a beria if it's less than a kezayis? We said it's a machlokas. Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. It's a machlokas between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli, or two deis in Tosfos, whether the Yerushalmi is debating with the Bavli or not. So maybe too here, the machlokas is how you define, is it an issue of chashuv? So even a little grape is chashuv. It's lana kezayis, but it's chashuv. But if it's an issue of a unit, so the Torah never told me that a grape is a unit for anything. When it comes to a namala, so a namala is a unit of Isser. A Gidonasha and Ever Achai is a unit of Isser. But when it comes to a grape is not a unit of Isser. So if it's a din in Choshev, then I should have to make a bracha achrona even on a grape. If it's a din in a unit, Torah never defined a grape as a unit. A third nafkamina. And this is brought by Taisur Bekiva Eger. We have an Isser of Eina Zavuach. One of the definitions to be a barrier was Asur Mitchilas Briyaso. It has to be Asur from its inception. And that's why Tosfos said a nevela is not a barrier. Nevela is not a burial. Why? Tosfos says it only became a nevela when you botched the shechita. You killed it some other way, but it was not born since its inception. It was not a nevela. So that's true. It wasn't a nevela since its inception. You don't have a lav, but you do have an isra say. What's the isra say? Eino zavuach. There's an isra say of eino zavuach that kozman that it wasn't shechted. There's an isra say. So is the isra say enough to make a beria? Tosfos holds an isra say is not enough to make a beria. That's why I said nevela is not a beria. But nevela does have an isra say. So it may depend on why a beria is a beria. Is it a din in chashivus? So with an isra say, you have a chashivus. If it's a din of a unit of a lav, an isra say is a say. It's not a lav. So maybe it's talui in this chakira about why it's a beria. Is it a din in chashivus? Or is it a din in a unit of Isser? The unit of Isser is not a unit of Isser Ase, it's a unit of Isser of a lav that would bring Malka. Maybe then you get to the question of the grain. Reb Shimon's opinion with the grain about the other definitions. You're saying a grape of...
It's not as important as a grain in itself.
A grape of Tevel is now a unit of Isser. That's what you're saying? Oh, the Suffolk example we gave... What about an Isser Beria Dirabanan? Would you apply Isser Beria to something which is only also Dirabanan? What's an Isser? The Gid HaChitzon. Gid HaNasha is Daraisa, but the Gid HaChitzon is an Isser Dirabanan. So let's say the Gid HaChitzon fell into your chalant. Would you say it's a Beria, it's in a Betela? On a Dirabanan, would you apply a Beria on a Dirabanan? So the Rosh Yosef is Mechalik. And he says it depends, maybe on this Chakira about Beria. If the beria is a din in a chashivas, so called a tikkun rabbanon kein daraisa tikkun. So therefore, this is a davar chashiv. The gid achitzon is a davar chashiv of a gid. It's a gid achitzon, and you should apply beria even to a darabanon. But if you say the beria is not a din in chashivas, it's a din of a unit of isra that the Torah said this is a unit of isra. It's a lav. So darabanon is not a unit of isra of a lav from the Torah. You wouldn't apply a beria. You wouldn't apply beria. So these are a few nafkaminas. There are others. So this question of how you define the schakira in Beria. To summarize the whole sugya we saw of Beria. We saw Machlokas and the Mishnah in Malkus. If between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim, how you apply Beria, just to a Namala or even to a Chita. We saw Machlokas Tosus and the Ramban, how you define a Beria. Is it if you divide it its name? I'm finishing. Or is it a 4:10? I'm 10 minutes late. You said 10 minutes you gave me. I'm finishing the summary. So is it if you divide it, it loses its name? Or is it it has to be whole, it has to be forbidden from its inception, and it has to be something that was alive? We saw it applies to three areas of halacha. We saw a chakira and four nafkaminas within the chakira. And I invite and encourage you to stay to listen to the great one and only Rabbi Moshe Shaket HaKayin.